Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
To Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Arway. This actually marks the 100th episode of Let's Eat In. Aw, thank you. I didn't know that was going to happen. So we're real excited. Thanks for listening. Today's guest happens to be an awesome, amazing guest to kick off the next 100 with. His name is Danny Bowen, and he is the chef at Mission Street Food. The most awesome restaurant ever.
Awesome. Thanks. Now it's Mission, we're now Mission Chinese Food.
But I can't keep it straight.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's a really confusing situation and story, but yeah.
Totally. I mean, the subtitle of the book, the cookbook that came out last summer.
Yeah.
Is called, what's it called? Recipes and something.
From an improbable restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has a hilarious business plan for this restaurant that was like, let's have strangers come in and cook and let's not make any money.
Right.
And let's give it away to charity.
Right. I mean, that book was actually written by my business partner, Anthony Mient, and his wife, Karen Leibowitz. I'm in there a lot, but I actually didn't write anything in there, but it's amazing. It's an amazing book and it's an amazing story, and I owe it all to that Mission Street Food in the beginning, because you know I came on halfway through that project and started collaborating with Anthony and all the guest chefs and just tackling this crazy project. And it
the
kind
project
of evolved,
meaning the book or the
no
the
just the restaurant.
Itself. Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, it is kind of confusing because towards the end of Mission Street Food, Anthony and Karen started that up themselves out of a taco truck in San Francisco, and then it got shut down, and this is all in the book, but then they basically had to relocate and go to, Anthony found a Chinese restaurant that was just a hole in the wall, kind of failing, and they were fine with that because they owned the building and they didn't want to be really busy. It was a family-owned thing, and so he asked them if they could go in there and rent the kitchen from them and prep. And do something once a week, and they're like, "Yeah, whatever, we don't care."
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like massively, crazily successful and busy, and that kind of, you know, spawned into a two nights a week project. And then I came on midway through, and Anthony went to open another restaurant called Commonwealth, and he was absorbed with that, and he couldn't do Mission Street Food anymore. I don't think any of us could because it was so crazy and whimsical and like spontaneous. So he was like, you know, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I want to stay here and work with these people, because I developed a relationship with the owners and the cooks that actually worked there in the restaurant, in the Chinese restaurant. So I was always in their way, you know, through the week. And then we started working together. I was like, I want to make Chinese food with these guys. And that's how it all happened. So now Mission Chinese Food is fully functional. Mission Street Food isn't. And it's kind of confusing because the book...
I'm totally lost.
Yeah, the book documents Mission Street Food, that project.
Right.
And then now it's Mission Chinese Food. It's a totally different thing. But people often, you know, the Mission Street Food book is about Mission Street Food and that twice a week thing. And the Mission Chinese Food is a full-time restaurant.
And I had the pleasure of checking it out last summer. Amazing stuff.
Well, thank you.
It actually really spoke to me because I'm always, I'm half Chinese, so I'm always making some... or trying to make some creative fusion, I guess.
Right.
And like walking there and tasting stuff, I was like, you guys are insane. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but you know, speaking of Mission Chinese Food, uh-huh. Was the intention, I know it's in an old, like kind of crummy Chinese restaurant.
Right.
Were you guys planning on doing Chinese food anyway, or was it really a
no? It was
place
it came
in time.
It came about like one of the towards the end of Mission Street Food, the guest chefs we were having twice a week on Saturdays. We were so busy, and it was all the chefs we needed to get were so busy that it was very difficult to get people on Saturday nights. Most chefs work on Saturday nights, so we started doing everything ourselves on Saturday nights. And we were trying to have a theme tied to everyone, and finally we were like, let's make Chinese food. And that's how it started. And so we did it, and I was like, we all had a great time doing it. And all the people in the Chinese restaurant were just shaking their heads at us, like, that's wrong, that's wrong. And so, but it's the way that it kind of evolved is that as cooks, we all enjoyed eating at Chinese restaurants in our day off. Because it's simple, there's tons of flavor, a lot of the flavors, especially Sichuan food, which is what we started doing in the beginning. There are these flavors that we're not used to as cooks, you know, like the bitter and the numbing, like whenever, if you're working at like a you know, fine dining restaurant, for example, you're not often using these numbing
elements. No, I don't think so.
And so it was cool. It was like, you know, trying to find out how to do something. You're like, wow, this is insane. So all our cook friends would get together on our day off and go eat at a Sichuan restaurant. And we started going to all the Sichuan restaurants in San Francisco. And then we were like, I was like, basically, Anthony was like, what do you want to do? Because I have to tell the owners what kind of Chinese food you want to make, because they don't really speak English. And I was
sure.
I want to make Sichuan food. And they're Cantonese, so they're like, you can do whatever. And it was good, because then I was like, well, at least they won't be like, you're doing that wrong, because they don't eat really spicy food, and a lot of Sichuan food is spicy. So it started as just, you know, us wanting to make the food that we like to eat on our day off.
Cool. And I know, speaking of like different heritages, you know, different types of food colliding. And I know you're Korean, and Anthony, your partner, is, I think he's ethnically Chinese.
Right.
Chinese story.
Burmese. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's very interesting. I'm Korean. I grew up, I was adopted when I was 3 months old, and I grew up in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And so I never had Korean food until I was like 19 or 20 when I moved to San Francisco. Because there aren't tons of Korean restaurants in Oklahoma.
So did you go exploring and eating up everything you could?
There was one a block away from my house, and I ate there like every day because I was like, wow, this is really cool and good and weird, but really awesome. So I ate there a lot, and the old ladies in the restaurant were like, that owned the place, they're like, speaking to me in Korean. And I was like, I have no idea, you know, but we developed a relationship, and they were like, I was just like, just make me whatever you want, and I'll try it. And so And then my wife is Korean as well, and so I've been to Korea like 10 times with her and gotten to try lots of awesome food.
Wow.
So it's been a learning experience.
That's fascinating.
Awesome. Yeah.
That sounds like the subject of another book.
Right.
Maybe. Actually, I think there is another book.
Possibly.
It's like the trails of something, woman who was adopted and then
Yeah.
I don't know. That can be another episode in these next 100 episodes.
Yeah.
this is all relevant if you're not in San Fran, because Mission, I don't know what it's going to be called.
Mission Chinese Food.
Chinese Food is opening a new location in New York City soon.
Yeah. We're going to be in the Lower East Side. So we're on Orchard Street between Rivington and Stanton. And we're hoping to be open very soon.
Oh my gosh.
And we don't know an actual date yet because we're trying to get everything together. But I moved here 2 days ago. So
you're like the head chef for this one.
I'm the head chef here. I'm going to live here as long as I can. And obviously the one in, thank you. The one in San Francisco is still up and going super strong. The sous chef there, who I've worked with for like over 9 years now, he's running the show there. We talk on the, you know, every day on Skype, and he's actually here with me right now, but we're going to try to do it, you know, together. So
sweet. I know that Mission, it's an interesting name because it's not so much it's also the name of Mission Dolores, the neighborhood and the street, Mission Street in San Fran, but it's also, it kind of nicely sums up the mission.
right. I mean, it's interesting. You know, when I met my business partner, Anthony, he kind of is the person that I learned so much from him, because I've just cooked and I enjoyed cooking, and he wanted to get into the food business for different reasons. And a lot of that is for charitable purposes. So when we started Mission Street Food, there was always a charitable organization that they would donate a portion of the proceeds from each dinner, and it changed every week.
Right.
When we started Mission Chinese Food, we were like, let's just donate everything to the San Francisco Food Bank. So we donate 75 cents from every entree there to the food bank in San Francisco, and it's amazing. Like, it's one of those things that
make any money.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, but you know, it's amazing being able to give back, and because especially because we're such a small, tiny, you know, small business. But it really has been awesome. I mean, we've raised over $100,000 since we've been open.
Wow.
For the food bank in San Francisco.
4 years or something?
Well,
or?
For Mission Chinese Food, we've only been open for about two. And right. So that's been...
crazy.
So yeah, it's
so
awesome.
So do you have... any chosen beneficiaries for New York's new location?
Not yet. I mean, we're definitely researching.
How about Heritage Radio now?
We were definitely trying to... It's going to be definitely a food-based charity. And we're just kind of in the process of you know, nailing one down. There's tons that we're looking at. And, you know... but yeah, it's super exciting. It's cool to, like... For me, it was cool to kind of think outside of the box and be like, look... You know, going out to eat for me, especially as a cook, I was always going out to eat for, like, selfish reasons because I love to eat food. And it's cool to be able to go out and think about it from a perspective as, like, even if you didn't, if you came and didn't have the best meal of your life, but you still were able to help someone else out, that's awesome. You know, it's really, really great to think about going somewhere and not only, you know, be having a good meal, but also being able to help someone else.
I don't think I could, anyone really could gripe or yelp or about a bad meal if it was going to charity.
So it's cool. We're super excited.
That's one strategy. What is your favorite thing that you've made, cooked in your time, tenure?
And at Mission Chinese?
Sure.
I don't know. It always changes. I think one of my more favorite dishes, is the thrice cooked bacon dish that we do.
Oh yeah.
And just because that dish kind of it's our take kind of on, it's like a bunch of different things. It's kind of like a Shanghainese rice cake dish, but kind of together with the Sichuan twice cooked pork. But we cook it three different ways. So it's bad. And the cool thing about it is there's tons of different, it hits like all the flavor profiles. It's like it's bacon that's been smoked, cured and smoked, and then it's been poached and then frozen, and then sliced, and then steamed, and then stir-fried in a wok with rice cakes and bitter melon and tofu skin and fermented black bean and chili oil. So it's cool because it's like spicy, smoky, salty, sweet from the tofu skin is marinated in like sake and soy sauce. And then it's like bitter from the bitter melon and numbing from the Sichuan peppercorn. So it's all these like crazy flavors.
Crispy.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun.
One of my favorites. So...
I'm excited. And what are you looking forward to cooking, perhaps, in the future?
I don't know. You know, I just got back from a trip.
Any teasers?
I was in Chengdu for a while, for 10 days, and I just saw so many eye-opening things. You know, when we started Mission Chinese Food, I'd never been to China. I never cooked Chinese food. I'm not Chinese. I mean, I'd eaten a lot of Chinese food. But it was cool. I've been to China twice in the past year, and it's been really cool to see. I went to... Hong Kong and Beijing first, and then I just got back from the Sichuan province. There's so many things that I just wanted to make, and I'm just so excited about, because it's Chinese food is like, it's to me it's awesome because there's so many different types of Chinese food, and they did everything, not everything, but they did a lot of things first. You know, a lot of things can be traced back to Chinese cooking, and just being in like Beijing and seeing, you know, street vendors making steam buns and noodles and making these awesome like pastas and doughs, and then being in the Sichuan province and tasting things that weren't actually spicy and the things that were like, you know, clean and different and simple. So I mean, I don't know, I can't really nail down one thing.
It's so various.
It's overwhelming. It really is overwhelming to think about all the different types of awesome Chinese food.
Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
How about a really killer version of Mapo Tofu?
Okay.
Because I see so many bad versions. Yeah.
Well, we have a version that we do now. And it's, we do it... we're having this really hard time because we're thinking about maybe changing it for the New York location. But the recipe that we have now is really cool because we slow cook. Instead of making an aluminum noodle sauce, we like really slowly cook chunks of pork shoulder. When I was in Sichuan province, most of it was with beef, which was really interesting. A lot of Mapo Tofu had beef. Or there was one place we went to that had pork brain in it, which was like, it was really super good. I don't think not a lot of people would be into that. But I was into it. It was really good. But the one we do now is braised super slow, like almost like a bolognese.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So you release all the depth of flavor in the meat, and you get a really flavorful, deep, rich sauce.
Like a rich meat sauce.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what it's called, but... Anyway,
So that's what we do. But yeah, I mean, you should try it because I think hopefully you like it.
Are you going to have it at the new place?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, goody. All right. So we'll be right back with more thoughts on food and home cooking, maybe a bit. With Daniel Bowen, we're going to have a quick musical selection.
This program has been sponsored by the Hearst Ranch. At Hearst Ranch, ranch manager Cliff Garrison describes their philosophy. Raising cattle on grass is both an ancient practice and one that is standard in much of the modern world. Sometimes the old ways are the right ways. We believe that our methodology is the right one for us. For more information on their premium grass-fed beef, visit HearstRanch.com.
We're back on air and let's eat in. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we have Danny Bowen as a guest. Bowen. Keep saying this wrong.
It's okay. There's an I in there somewhere.
I know. There's the E and an I. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So you grew up where again?
I grew up in Oklahoma City, which was, it's kind of weird, and I miss it, actually. It's very,
very urban. I don't get it.
I think, you know, I've always, my parents were super cool, and they let me just kind of be whatever I wanted, awesome. And that was really awesome. But yeah, Oklahoma's, there's some really awesome qualities to it, and I'm really glad that I grew up there.
How did you know you wanted to get into cooking and food? Was it the famous Oklahoma some sort of
I don't know. I think they're most famous for maybe barbecue or like chicken fried steak. But I think it's from growing up and just we weren't the most well off family growing up, so we always ate at home. We didn't go out to restaurants that often, and then my mom cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and yeah. I was just so fascinated. I'd always stand in the kitchen and cook with my mom, which is it was amazing. You know, it was like really cool. It was a good time that we always spend that time together, and I think that's what really inspired me to want to cook. And it was cool because for that hour and a half that we ate, or hour that we ate every night, the whole family was there, and my dad was there and he worked, so I got to see him and talk to him. So it was cool. I always thought that like cooking and bringing people together, being able to hang out with your friends or your family is really important. I think that was one of the major reasons that I wanted to cook. I didn't know that once I started cooking, I would never see my family or friends because I'd be cooking all the time. But, you see them when they come to the restaurant.
You're fostering friendship and family for other people,
right,
in good times.
Yeah.
Cool. I have to ask this for everyone. Uh-huh. And Danny, what is the ultimate date meal or romantic meal you can think of?
I think sushi is probably the ultimate date meal because it's not, super, super filling and it's enjoyable. There's lots of different tastes and flavor profiles. And, you're not like, I have a hard time. Like, my wife and I go out to sushi a lot because, again, it's like, you don't leave the meal oftentimes completely like needing to go straight to bed because you're so full. But that can always change. That's probably my ultimate date meal.
Yeah, just like what kind of sushi eater are you? Do you like to get different things and then kind of...
I usually let the chef pick, I'll go omakase to a restaurant and then get omakase. I always ask for like nigiri omakase, which is like the rice on top of fish. Mm-hmm. The fish on top of rice. Just because they're like, it's so exciting. You'll get like, however many they want to give you. But
I think you should do a rice on top of the fish.
You could do that. That's like a... I just typically go and like whatever you want to make.
I see.
That's kind of the best way to eat at any restaurant. If the chef will do it, then it'd be like, let them in your hands.
It's always good to let them choose whatever's freshest.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to demand something that'd be like...
Right. Yeah. So I guess that would be my ultimate date food.
Sounds good. Yeah. And you're married, of course.
I'm married.
So you guys are all relocated now.
We are relocated. I have two cats and a wife. And so we're all living in the Lower East Side now. It's pretty awesome. Been there 2 days. I'm excited to cook at home, actually, because we've been eating out. you know, every time I come to New York, it's kind of like, it's overwhelming because you want to eat and see so many places. And I try to, I think I overwhelm myself and do it all, try to do it all mm-hmm. in like the first couple of days. So I'm excited to eat at home and make like a salad or something.
Is that what you make at home?
No, I mean, you know, simple food.
Sure, at sure, home. Sure. What do you find like the most inspiring aspects of New York City food? And how does it differ from San Fran too?
I love both cities. I mean, there's always this thing about San Francisco versus New York or New York versus San Francisco. I think they both have insane qualities about them, and both are very inspiring. I think New York is super inspiring because there's so many restaurants. There's so many different styles of food, and there's also a synergy. There's a lot of actual. You go to restaurants, people are working so hard, and you can taste that in the food. And the same with San Francisco. But I think that here things are open later, which is another good quality, because you know a lot of cooks cook late. You can go get food. You know, not every restaurant closes at 10 o'clock, which is good. And then, yeah, just the VAT. There's like tons of different restaurants here, and you know that's probably one of the biggest reasons. You know, they say if you can do it here, you know, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
So
are you looking to... So this will be the second Chinese food
yeah.
in existence.
Right.
Any other plans to go elsewhere?
We're taking it one step at a time. I mean, this is the... this is one of the biggest goals for us. This is probably... this is definitely going to be, like, one of the hardest things I've ever done. But I'm excited. We're really embracing it. And, you know, this is... For us right now, this is it. And then we'll see what happens later.
Do you have any special like opening events that you're planning to do at the space?
Yeah, we have a few ideas. We'd like to do some stuff, perhaps collaborate with a few other people and have like a big party, but we have to like install the kitchen first and then install the kitchen stuff first and then have places to cook. I mean, we're in the process of putting all the pieces together right
now. Is it also in an old Chinese restaurant?
No, it's been in a couple of different places. It's not an old Chinese restaurant. There were woks in there whenever we went there though, which was cool. It was a Thai restaurant before.
Oh, well, okay.
So yeah,
maybe you should call it Mission or no.
That would be more confusing. We're trying to make it as.
Wait a minute! It's not even on Mission Street anymore.
No, it's not.
Why'd you choose the Lower East Side?
Well, the space is really awesome, and it kind of like when we went in there it was the first space we saw, and then we saw a lot of other spaces. We really wanted to do something. When I lived here, I think in 2003, and that was kind of the area a lot of my friends would hang out. In and around. Now it's like crazy there, like on a Saturday night, it's so busy. But it was, you know, the space kind of, we're just like, we should do it here. And so they kind of chose us, I guess.
Nice. So in all of these successful 2 years mm-hmm. Of having Mission Chinese Food, and you've donated so much money to charity. Mm-hmm. I can't believe $100,000 over the years. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is a model that other restaurants could and should subscribe to and be inspired by? And
you know, I can't speak for everyone because the restaurant business is an insanely difficult business. And what we did at Mission Chinese Food in San Francisco was unique. And you know, we worked with a restaurant where the owners were very lenient and let us do whatever we wanted to do. They owned the space, so we weren't paying rent every month. So we've definitely, you know, I think that I can't speak for everyone, but I do think that it's something that everyone should at least think about trying to do, because it's, you know, ultimately.
Do you see other examples of folks doing this?
I mean, I read something online where like someplace, and I really don't remember where it was. I think it's in Canada, but there's a restaurant that adopted the same principle.
Oh, cool.
I think it's like a hamburger shop or something, and they're doing it now. You know, you feel insanely good. You know, it's such a gratifying feeling to not only know that you're, you know, feeding people, but also helping, you know, kind of like two birds, one stone, you mm-hmm. know? And so, you know, I think it's definitely something that everyone should entertain, but I can't say everyone should do it, because it is a difficult business, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You
know, so.
And folks, you know, when you guys first started up Mission Chinese Food, folks might have described it then as, or maybe they do describe it as a pop-up.
Uh-huh.
Is that a good term for it?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, like it's the most confusing story of all time, Mission Street Food, Mission Chinese Food. So Mission Street Food was a pop-up.
Yes.
And then at Mission Chinese Food, we were like, look, We want to be open 7 days a week, all day long. Because a lot of people in the beginning couldn't either they couldn't come to the restaurant because the lines were really long, or they didn't want to wait in line, or we're only open 2 days a week. So we're like, let's just go above and beyond and just put ourselves out there. Because we also had to learn how to make, you know, mm-hmm. we were like, I was excited. I was like, I want to learn how to make Chinese food. So I'm just going to be here all the time. Let's be open. So
the pop-up is no longer, but that's kind of like the starting point.
That was definitely the starting point, and that's where we got, you know, obviously. One of the cool things about working there is, you know, I didn't know how to make Chinese food at the time, but I'll be working next to, when we were doing Mission Street Food, the Chinese restaurant was still doing to-go orders, so I would be watching the chef do to-go orders all night.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I would eat lunch there every day, and I would just have them make me whatever they wanted, and I would just watch the chef, and I was allowed back there because I was prepping back there. So I kind of like convinced them to just show me how to make stuff and show me techniques, and then they were actually happy that I wanted
They didn't think you were like crazy or no.
They thought we were crazy for sure, but they didn't. They were like, why do you want to, you know, it's insane. But
it's so funny, the culture clash, you know.
It's ridiculous, but it was, you know, it's so amazing. You know, the same chef is there from whenever we were doing Mission Street Food, and we actually hired him, so he's one of our strongest. He's actually like the team leader in the back. He's the oldest guy that works in the kitchen, so he makes all the staff meal every day, and he's taking all the new cooks under his wing, and it's pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Are you bringing any other new chefs or old chefs from the first restaurant over to New York for this?
It's going to be a rotating thing. So right now, the sous chef from San Francisco, who's now the like executive sous chef, and there's just a new chef there, basically, Jesse Coity, he's here with me right now, helping me open the restaurant. He's going to be here for the opening, and then he's going to go back to San Francisco, and then we're going to try to bring, I've already discussed it with all the Chinese cooks that we've hired. They're all going to come out here for a couple weeks out of the month and just see the place and hang out and maybe work if they want to. But it's exciting, you know. I don't even know if they really understand what's going on. That I was like, I'm leaving. I won't be back for a while. I'll be back in a couple of months. And I'll be back and forth. But they're like, oh, okay.
They don't really know, like, the size of this, like, whole...
No, they have no idea. Yeah, they have no idea, but it's... It's exciting. I can't wait to bring them here and be like, this is the other restaurant. And they'll be like, what? You're so crazy.
Well, it sounds like you and your team have a lot on your plates, and I can't thank you enough for sharing your time.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel like I've drilled you with tons of questions, we're very excited about the new restaurant, and thanks for stopping by Roberta's for some pizza.
Yeah, awesome.
And we'll see you next week on the 101st. I don't know if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
101st episode of Let's Eat In. But in the meantime, check out Mission Street Food or MissionChineseFood.com.
.com.
All right. See you next week.
See you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.